Welcome to Journey from Jacob. From our first breath to our last heartbeat, we are all on a journey. Jacob was a biblical character whose journey is documented for our benefit. Like all of us, there were unforgettable moments along the way, which required decisiveness. One of those decisions determined his destination. We will not only discuss Jacob's journey, but Israel's as well, right up to date. May this podcast inspire you to make choices along your way that will benefit others and guide you to the destination we all long for.
Welcome back to The Journey from Jacob. Journey from Jacob is the podcast arm of Comfort My People. Comfort My People is a ministry, and you're going to understand it more as time goes on, but you could always check out our website, comfortmypeople.com. So we invite you to that experience, and we invite you to communicate with us. You know, go back and forth with us if you can on social media or email, texting, different ways. But we want to respond to you to help you on your journey. This is about a journey. And this time we are going to speak a little bit about the title, because it's in the title, Journey from Jacob. It talked about it briefly last time, but I'll be referring to it as time goes on. The journey from Jacob is not our highlight for this. We're not going to be focusing on that week after week, but we will refer to it on a regular basis because of its importance. There are some terms that you're going to hear. They're biblical terms. Then you're going to hear from me and guests as we have them on a regular occasion, a regular basis. And one of those is the eternal purpose of God. And you could check out your Bible. I recommend that highly, because if this is not a biblical conversation, it's really not valuable. So eternal purpose of God, or God according to his purpose, his eternal purpose, according to God's eternal purpose. You'll see it phrased differently in different versions, but it's the eternal purpose of God. And it's according to, because this is how life was meant to live as believers. Now for you, we Christians, the reason I say believers over and over, it's the same thing. When I say believers, you could say, well, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. Because I don't say Christian is not because I am avoiding that. I'm not in favor of Christians. It's just because of the history, the Jewish history that has intersected the church history is not a pleasant one. And it's really done a lot of damage. Now, I know some people are going to it's going to turn your skin, your hair is going to go on edge, you're going to get upset, what are you talking about? You know, I believe in the church, blah, blah, blah. I do too. My wife and I began going to a church not long after we were born again. Our experience was not in a church. It was in our own house separately. I got saved on the kitchen floor, leaning against a stud. And my wife got saved not long after that. But it was a very personal. We were not in a church. We did not hear, you know, the organ playing or piano playing or music in the background. It was just a confrontation with the God of the universe, with us individually. So I will refer to that because I think it's important as part of our journey and your journey as well. So we're going to focus on this, the journey part. But in the conversation as it goes on week after week, hopefully you'll join us, you'll also hear one new man. So this is in conjunction with Comfort My People and our calling. So you'll hear the eternal purpose of God, or according to God's eternal purpose, but the one new man, which is also biblical. And I'm not going to tell you where these are. I think it's important if you do the search. But the one new man is also in conjunction, and the third term would be the bride of Christ. And that's how Christians would say, Christians in America and the Western world, bride of Christ. In Israel, the believers there would say the bride of Messiah, meaning the same thing. Christ in Greek is Messiah in Hebrew. It means the anointed one, literally, but it's the anointed one who comes to save, to seek and to save those who are lost, is the Messiah, is the Christ. So you'll hear that, the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, and you'll hear others, but we will refer to these terms on somewhat more regularity, and the other one is the path of righteousness, which is where we're going to go to now. Path is where the journey takes place. Not all paths lead to heaven. Jesus said to clear up the confusion early in his ministry was that he is Haderech. Haderech means one of the Hebrew words for path. But Jesus said he was, if he was speaking in Hebrew, which he most likely was, to his disciples and those Israelis nearby, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. So in order to be on the path of righteousness, it has to be literally on him, the Messiah. In him, on him, but it doesn't necessarily start there, the journey, because we're all on a journey in life. I believe his disciples, the 12, and others that were following along, many women, came to faith sometime later in the journey. Jesus was on earth 3 to 3.5 years, we say, but they didn't start as disciples. That might sound strange to you because in the church you've learned that you get saved and then you're a disciple. You become a disciple after you go through a discipleship course. Could be 2 weeks, 6 weeks, and that's not how Jesus did it. Put it that way. He trained these untrained Jews, they were all Jews, to begin this process of knowing him. It was a relationship-building experience that lasted 3 to 3.5 years. And I don't believe, won't die on this hill, I don't believe that any of them were saved until Jesus' resurrection and his ascension. No, before his ascension, he came back to his disciples, and in the room that they were gathering in, after they had another gathering and they were fearful of their lives because of what happened to Jesus may happen to them soon after. But on the second time, he breathed on them. And Thomas was there as well. Thomas was the doubter. He shouldn't be called the doubter anymore. Doubting Thomas seems like we still call him that. But his name should be changed in relationship to what happened in that room, is that Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." In Hebrew, the word for spirit is the same word for breath, which is ruach. Ruach HaKodesh is the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them, and he said, "Receive the Spirit." And they did. And I believe that is when they were born again. You can believe otherwise. Some would say Nathanael was born again in the beginning of John's story, his gospel. But regardless, they were all born again before the upper room experience. That was a different experience with the Holy Spirit. So in this journey, it's one that is universal. We're all on a journey. We're born as soon as we could walk or crawl. We're on a journey. It's a journey of discovery. No one knows why we're here at birth. So this journey is different for all of us, but we always intersect with people on the journey. And we don't recognize so much that they are on a journey too. We should be interested in it as believers, because for me personally, I've learned not to take any relationship for granted. And it could be 5 minutes on the phone with customer service. Sometimes I kind of regret the conversation, but because it's not 5 minutes, it's more like an hour and 50 minutes of frustration. But nevertheless, I've learned to take those on the other end of the phone who I'll never see in this life seriously, because they're going through a journey too, and it might be extremely difficult at that point in time. So I find that a very valuable opportunity. But on our journeys, even though we may not intersect with anyone for a long time, COVID was a disruptor of this intersection process that God designed for our benefit and benefit of others. COVID was demonic in its nature because it actually prevented us from having this interaction that is so needful, especially if we're a believer, because we have something to add to people's life. We always can add something that is eternal in nature as believers to the life of someone else, whether it's a believer or unbeliever. We have power in the tongue to bring life. So this journey is a shared experience. So we intersect and we don't intersect, but we're always traveling on a journey. Now, for Jacob, his journey is one that we can all relate to. But at the same time, we shouldn't use it as an example, because I'm not going to go into his whole biblical intersection with God on his journey right now, but we will at times draw from it. But Jacob's journey is one that has many regrets on it, until, that is, he had a confrontation with the God of the universe, who at first, he knew it was supernatural, but at first he's called the angel of the Lord. And then Jacob recognizes, no, this wasn't just an angel. Not that an angel would be enough, but he had confrontations with angels previous. This time he realized this was the angel of the Lord, which is called in the New Testament title, another title for Jesus, the angel, not an angel, the angel of the Lord. So we each have our own journey, but what we need, we all need, is to, in order to have it in common, our journey to be the same, a meaningful one, is we must have the same God. It's a path of righteousness, but it's guided, the new journey that we take is guided by the shepherd, capital S shepherd, the shepherd that came to seek and to save those who are lost, the shepherd of Israel, and for all who would call upon his name. So the reason we call this journey from Jacob is because something dramatic happened to Jacob on his journey, and that changed his life forever, and it gave him a new identity. A new identity is something that only God can give. We all have an identity that develops from birth on, but the new identity is something out of this world. Jesus said, you must be born again. I touched on this with Nicodemus when he came to Jesus at night on his journey. And Jesus said, you must be born again. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above. So Jesus said that in the same time that he said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, the most popular verse in the Christian faith, and the world is familiar with, you must be born again, because God so loved the world that he actually gave his son so it could happen. It can't happen without his son. So the reason for Jacob's journey to be from Jacob, because he becomes something else. So on this dramatic moment in his journey, which is found in Genesis 32, I'll give you that clue, Jacob discovered his new identity. And Jesus calls this, although he didn't call it then, what happens when a person is born again. So that God has this universal appeal to all people, but it's a must in order for our journey to be on the path of righteousness. Until then, it's a path that can go in any direction. You know, we can veer, we can change, we can make decisions, turn left, turn right. But the path of righteousness, the difference is we're guided by the shepherd. Now, we're going to talk about that too, because it's real important to refer to that. And I'll give you a clue where that's found. It you probably know already. It's Psalm 23. So I won't go into that now, but it's a very, very relevant meaning. So in our journey, and what happened to Jacob is that, of course, if it happened to Jacob, it can happen to us. He was a man of like manner, like you are. Man meaning man or woman. Sorry if that offends you. I really not that sorry, because it shouldn't. It's just God's way of communicating in a much more clear way. He's talking about humanity oftentimes when he says man. Hebrew is very clear. You can understand it because it uses verb tense and it uses, you know, female, female, gender clarity. So Jesus called it born again. He also said that it's an appeal, God's universal appeal to all people. And it's a must if we are to enter the journey on the path of righteousness. So let me just say a couple of things without detail, is that on Jacob's journey, his name was changed. And it represented that his identity had changed. That's why God gave him a new name. His new name was Israel. Also, what happened on his journey was that he fled at this time of his life. He was in a very difficult place. He had become very prosperous, and we'll talk about this another time, but God had called him to live in Israel, which wasn't called Israel then, but into the land of promise. God promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob a certain piece of property that was not very large, but it's larger than it is today. But still, nevertheless, this was God's parameters for them to live, to grow, and in that land, that property would be kind of like a stage for the redemption story to be played out. So here we are in Jacob's life, and he is in a very troubling place. He already had sent his wives, which he had two, and concubines. You know, that's something we don't model in Jacob's journey. But he sent them across the river Jabbok. Well, some would say it's a stream. But they crossed it along with all the children, all their possessions. And because Jacob knew that his brother Esau was going to be on the other side somewhere, and Jacob was told by Esau before he began his journey away from the promised land to where his uncle lived, which didn't go well for him in many ways, except he did marry both Rachel and Leah. So we don't model that aspect either. But in that process, 12 sons were born who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. So Jacob has already sent them all in front of him, but he knows that he has to follow them in order to be in the land God promised. But his brother's going to be there. His brother Esau told him on his last conversation that he was going to kill him next time he sees him for what he had done. So he's obviously very concerned about that and nervous about it, and afraid would be a better word. And then when it's dark, he's all left alone on one side of this river Jabbok. Everything, all his family is on the other side, all his possessions on the other side. He's unarmed, and this angel, seems like, comes and begins to wrestle with him. In the process, Jacob does not give up. It's not like, hey man, I cry uncle, stop fighting me, I can't win. He didn't. And there's some kind of resolve in Jacob that is God ordained, because Jacob was drawn to the result. He didn't know what it would be. It didn't look good, but whoever was wrestling with him seemingly was not out to harm him, but he was out to wrestle something out of him. Now, we don't get all of this in the story. We have to somewhat make sanctified imagination and make some conclusions by, but I believe that Jacob held on because God had revealed himself in part to him. And no man can come to God, Jesus said, unless he is drawn by the Father. So I think this was happening. It was an internal thing. But you know what? Salvation comes, whether it's in different manners, it's the same process. God is drawing us to himself. We surrender to him because we know it's better to do so. We realize our nature does not coincide with his, because his nature is holy, it's perfect, it's right, it's just, and ours is not. And so we recognize the need to have not only what he has, we don't know that yet, but who he is in order to correct the journey that we're on. So Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Jacob, his name means a few things, but one of it means deceiver. That doesn't mean the name Jacob is a dirty name. It isn't. But it's striving. He was striving. He was always planning, plotting. And you see this throughout his life, which we also shouldn't copy, use him as a model. But when he changed his name, the interesting thing, several interesting things, but his name as being cunning or deceiver or striver, his name is changed to Israel. And his new name, one of the meanings of Israel would be Prince of God, but another one is strives with God. So he's no longer striving against God, he's striving with God. And that puts him on the path of righteousness. And that path is always for his namesake. So it obviously benefits us because we have a new identity, a new nature is given to us as born-again believers. So that's all in the realm of the miraculous. Another thing that the angel of the Lord did when he changed his name, he touched his hip. It's not enough that he wrestled with him all through the night. I mean, if any of you have wrestled, and I did, and I know what it's like to lose. And one time I was begging for that event to end, but Jacob wasn't like that. He wrestled through the night. That's an incredible feat. So it was a supernatural occurrence, everything that happened. So his name was changed. His identity was changed. His destination would change because he'd now be on the path of righteousness, and he received this new identity along with a new name, which is Israel. He named him, God named him Israel. And so in naming him Israel, he also touched his hip, which is a strange thing. seems, but he did, and he never walked the same after that. It wasn't that he was trying to hurt him, but I believe what he did. He walked again. He walked across the river, Jabbok. And it's significant and symbolic of what happens to a person who's born again. You never walk the same again. That's literally what's going on. You're never walking the same again. You want to be on path with God because you know it's right. And it is. So all this stuff was in the realm of the supernatural, the miraculous. But once the journey begins, it becomes a process. And that process is very natural, but it intersects the supernatural. So we become naturally supernatural. So the journey is a process, but the shepherd, the great shepherd, becomes our guide and our God. And we cannot navigate without him. But here's where people get confused. The difference, and this is where theology, which we will talk about next time, gets into the mix soon after you're on this path of righteousness. And the difference between you and Jacob is that you don't become Israel. You have an identity that is very personal. And Jesus called this born again. And the Bible elaborates on this. It said that all things pass away and all things become new, which includes your identity. But you're not Israel. It doesn't mean that God doesn't give you promises. He does. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you as much. He does. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have a calling on your life, which is good and lasting and fulfilling. He does. You get all those things, but you don't have to become Israel. You don't have to become a Jew. And I'm not saying everyone has that issue, but it is an issue. It's a new you, you could say. Not Jew, but it's a new you. It's an upgrade beyond this world. So you get a new heart, a new mind, a right spirit. And the law of God is written on your heart and on your mind so that you would do these things that God has taught. And so this is what happens to all of us once that journey comes to a confrontation with the God of the universe, your maker, your creator. So here's the difference, though. Once you enter the path of righteousness, the new you will embrace Israel. So you intersect people on your path. Few of you, probably, relatively so, intersect Jews on your path. There's relatively few Jews in churches in America. And there's a reason for that. And we're going to be talking about that to some degree as we go on. But you will, because it's something in you that yearns for this embrace. Why? It's kind of similar, in a sense, to what happened with Jacob. So in Genesis 32, we talked about that he fled initially. The reason he was on this journey back is because he ran from his brother, who was promised, you know, he would kill him. So it's reason to leave. But his brother became his enemy. That is contrary to the will of God. Brothers were never meant to be enemies. In fact, the Bible unfolds and you start to realize that this whole story, this redemption story from start to finish, is about brothers loving each other. Brotherly love is key to the biblical story. Both Old and New Testaments, they merge. They merge. They should merge. And what happens is, as a new believer, your new nature, inside there's a longing to be reconciled with your brother, which is Israel. It's not the nation alone, it's the people. So we will talk about this aspect of it. But when you hear Israel, when you read Israel in the Bible, it's not something you become, it's something that is. Israel is the land and the people. God promised the people that they would always be a people eternally, and he promised they would always have this certain piece of property. Israel as the land and Israel as the people are two witnesses of the faithfulness of God. The truth is established by two or more witnesses, the land of Israel and the people of Israel, or the Jewish people from the 12 tribes of Jacob, are previously told repeatedly in the book of Genesis and throughout the Bible. It reiterates that these people are an eternal people because of God's promise. Even in Hebrews 6, it goes right along with Genesis 12 and the chapters that follow, which is easily overlooked. So we're going to continue on this journey. And hopefully we will be doing it together, because it comes down to this, the other term, the bride of Christ or the bride of Messiah, has to come to existence. It has to be a reality. And there is not two brides. There's one, two different names because of two different groups of people who are on it. But this one new man, which is also something we're going to be repeating, I think I mentioned that, is a coalition, a collaboration, literally a marriage of two previously people who were hostile to one another. And they become the one new man. God makes it happen. And in the process, he makes peace. So hopefully, as you go on and continue on this journey with us, there'll be a greater understanding, which will develop a greater love of the shepherd, the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, and you will get to understand where you go from here on this journey. So for now, shalom, shalom.
We bless you for taking the time to consider this message. May it cause you to be fruitful and effective and lead others along the way with confidence and determination. Check out our website at comfortmypeople.com to become better informed and equipped to restore righteousness to the people of Israel, America, and beyond. Please consider sharing this and visit us on social media. Shalom and blessings.